The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is Ruthless Aggression. We are here to talk about our very first pay-per-view, like actual meaningful pay-per-view in the UK in about 30 years. Wow. Pierce joined by Rob and Chris. Then we're going to run through a couple weeks of 2006. What are you guys feeling about Clash and Castle? This is big. This is in, what, Wales, I want to say?
I think they've done a pretty good job building it up. Roman and Drew and the six-woman tag match are two kind of Mania caliber matches. It seems to be a legitimate sellout, so it's going to be, 70,000 people there, which is going to be pretty cool. I'm excited, man. It's holiday weekend, multiple wrestling shows, a lot of college football. It's just going to be a really fun weekend in general.
Yeah, I think that most of the show has been built up pretty well. I think the reintroduction of the mid-card titles to a higher standard and higher elevation on the card as well is definitely helping this, obviously, with Gunther and Sheamus wrestling. Does Lashley have a match yet?
I don't think he has one. Yeah, I know he's facing Miz on Raw, so they might add something after that. There's only five matches right now. We'll probably add one or two more.
I think because Edge is probably going to be on it with Finn and some combination, so that would check out. I think I'm going to really enjoy this show. It's going to be a different atmosphere than what we're used to. And I think that
For the better or for the worse?
I think it'll be a better atmosphere than usual. Just a bigger crowd, and the international fans are interesting.
That's how they operate. They sing song all the time.
Yeah.
So that might, maybe it'll distract people or whatever, but they're not. That's just kind of what it is over there. So I think it'll add something because it's the only show that we're really going to be hearing it from.
Yeah.
So I think that it'll provide for a fun atmosphere. They're obviously so ready for the show. It might not be in like London or whatever, but I would assume that people are probably tripping for this show.
Yeah.
So they've been waiting for that long, and usually those are the crowds that do the best, and those are the ones that the underserved.
Mm-hmm.
They go all out. This happens all the time when they go overseas to Europe. People always say that they love the crowds out there.
Yeah.
So I imagine that that'll stay true here too.
Yeah.
Let's run through what we have so far. And I agree, we kind of got to get Edge and Finn on that card. Be a crime if they go to the UK and Finn's not on that fucking card.
Yeah.
Let's start off with the Intercontinental Championship. Gunther is defending against Sheamus. Just a means of getting Sheamus, who is from the Republic of Ireland, which is not in the UK.
Yeah.
Close enough. And getting Gunther, who is one of your fastest growing European stars. This is really just to showcase Europe. And it should be a hell of a fight. A hell of a hoss fight.
Yeah. Sheamus has still been really good this year. I don't know how many people are really following SmackDown because, you know, it's not always the best show. But yeah, he's been a standout kind of all year. And you know, they did play into the fact that, like, if he wins, he'll be the first Ultimate Grand Slam champion, which is cool because he will be. I mean, he will be, have all the belts.
Yeah, all the belts, all the accolades.
Yeah.
Because he's literally been WWE champion, World Heavyweight champion, U.S. champion, multi-time tag champ.
Yeah.
Royal Rumble, Money in the Bank, King of the Ring. He's done everything.
Yeah, so.
It's crazy. He's only enough to have the IC title, which, to be honest with you, is why I think this could go either way, because I could see them, you know, doing that. I mean, obviously, Gunther is a big, imposing individual, but so is Sheamus.
Yeah.
So I genuinely think this could go either way. I'm not rooting for anybody. I'm rooting for one thing. Violence.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're going to get to.
Violence, they're just going to smash, and I'm going to be all for it.
They're just go out there and just, you'll beat the shit out of each other for 15 minutes or whatever. Yeah. 15
probably.
I'm excited. I'm going to pick Sheamus, you know, just because it'd be cool to see him win, but I'm not going to be upset with, you know, either result.
I'll pick Gunther just to be different.
I will go with Gunther as well. We'll finally get Riddle versus Seth freaking Rollins 1-on-1. Seth can't keep doing jobs.
No, I think he needs to win. You know what's funny about this match, though, is I was talking about this the other day. Like, you know, they took it off SummerSlam because the build wasn't good enough, and then they didn't really do too much the past month to build it further. Like, they've had a couple brawls, but maybe
brawls are better than nothing.
Yeah, maybe they'll do something big on Raw and kind of hammer it home. But I mean, it doesn't feel like a big match relative to most of the rest of this card. But like, also if you put it like the opening spot, it'll be perfectly fine.
See, I think this is the middle of the show banger.
No, that's fair.
This is like, not a whole A-B comparison here, but this is the placement for, like, you know, Bianca and Becky at Mania this year.
That's fair.
Where it's going to be, you know, probably a really good match. Possibly, you know, the usual level of Seth and Riddle, who are, spoiler alert, probably going to be 1 and 2 in some order in the top 25 in its next update.
Yeah.
Because those two have been the workhorses of the men's division this year. So, yeah, I've had to pick. Seth needs this win. He needs this win so bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, he does. You know, he lost Cody 3 times, and it just...
He didn't win Money in the Bank. He hasn't really won a feud or a match in, like, 3 years. Like,
if
please just give him the W. He doesn't have to win the feud. Just give him the W here, though. He's earned it.
And here's the thing. If a major title is back on Raw, either, you know, by Drew having both of them splitting one, like, he's going to be a contender. So you got to start building him back up a little bit for it.
Exactly.
Yeah. 6-woman tag match, Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka versus Bayley. And the two women who, next time we talk on Sunday to recap this, will probably be the women's tag team champions. It's Dakota Kai and Io Sky. I think this is a big point for the Damage Control trio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think they shall lose. I think we kind of all fall in line there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the biggest no-brainer on the card,
I think. Yeah, I think
Out of all the matches, like, you know, Seth obviously should be, but he obviously hasn't won a lot of matches, so that's why it makes it sort of up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Liv and Shannon could go either way. The IC title match could go either way, and at this point, the main title match could go either way. But this should be the lock of the weekend, that the Damage Control faction wins, and I will take it further. I think Bayley gets the pin in the match.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one who needs it.
That makes sense.
Especially if Dakota and EO are obviously going to keep winning. They're going to keep being the tag team champs. I don't know who she pins. I'm not going to be that bold and say that she's going to pin, you know, one of the three over there, but she's going to get the pin in this match.
Yeah,
because she needs it the most.
Well, and I mean,
if they're gonna heat her up, I have to remind the public here, even though I think for the most part, if you're undeniable in the Federation, you don't necessarily need to win all the time, even though obviously it's obviously important. But the two most recent wins that Bayley's recorded on television were against Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott back in February or March of 2021.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
And well, she beat
Aaliyah.
Yeah, she beat Aaliyah.
But Aaliyah is not on that
team. No, that's fair. And I think, you know, I think they're going to do Bayley and Bianca at Extreme Rules with some sort of, you know, stipulation. It feels like the tag stuff, you know, Dakota and Io are going to be tied up with maybe another tag team that might be coming back in the next few days.
Maybe. You never know.
And then, you know, on the Alexa and Asuka side, like, they're a good team. I don't think they're going to be a team that stays together for a long time.
Honestly, I think they should feud.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good way for both of them to get their mm-hmm. feedback.
I agree.
It's for them, like, not just like the basic, oh, you know, you stabbed me in the back, this, that. Like, no. Honestly, let them rock a little bit for a couple singles matches or whatever before a roster change or shake up or whatever.
Yeah. No, I agree. So, yeah.
They both need some upward here.
I think damage control makes a lot of sense here.
Women's Championship on SmackDown. It's Liv Morgan and Shayna Baszler. I don't see a reason for Liv to lose here.
I agree. Yeah, it's just, it's been a weird kind of month for her. You know, they had the one crowd turn on her, which whatever.
Just an obnoxious crowd. Yeah. Might have just wanted to see Ronda.
And I think they didn't get what they want. I think they've kind of righted the ship, and this feud's been pretty good. I don't think Liv's going to lose either. It feels like Ronda's going to kind of get involved, and like maybe it'll end up inadvertently costing Shayna, and they'll go from there. Maybe do a triple threat at some point.
That would probably be the best way to do it, because they, you know, people who are in tune know that Ronda and Shayna are one and the same.
Yeah.
So maybe they could. I mean, I don't know if this falls in. You know, maybe they do this. I don't know if anyone would like it or not, but maybe they just do a DQ finish, and that's how they continue on with her as champ. They protect everyone involved and have Ronda get involved, like, because she's been a menace. So which she's probably going to do again, and she's so mad that she lost Shayna the title, and that's where the division between those two.
But I think
I didn't actually think of her costing Shayna that, because I kept thinking, like, okay, how's she going to worm her way out of the Kirifuda clutch? Is Liv just going to do what Kyrie did and everyone else does when they roll back and they get the shoulders down, like the Bret Hart, Roddy Piper finish?
Yeah.
Or are they going to do something different like that? I could see that happen.
And I just think the most important thing, you know, Liv's got to get some offense in the match. You know, it can't be like it was at SummerSlam. I think she'll leave with the title. I don't know, you know, how exactly, but yeah.
And that's where the conclusion I come to is I don't see what avenue you take the belt off of her, put it on Shayna, and continue the story. This, to me, I think you just muddle up in that regard. You can have a DQ Flux finish, and like you said, continue it that way, but for me, Liv either wins it, no matter what, Liv is leaving Cardiff with the belt.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly too premature to take that belt off of her. It's just a matter of like win, loss, DQ, whatever happens. But Liv is definitely walking away with the belt. I know that much for sure. And the last advertised match so far is the main event for the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship, Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. I've been flip-flopping so much on this, but I'm finally going to settle in on Roman winning and retaining his championship for this one fact. Cross will probably fuck it up for Drew.
Yeah, I don't know if he's allowed in Wales is the only thing, but like, you know, I guess they could do like an Undertaker sort of thing where he's... dims the lights or whatever.
That would be so shitty.
Yeah.
For this situation, just because Drew has been so integral.
Yeah.
Building to this. I understand that, you know, that thought process. I just feel like there's got to be a clean finish here.
They're not going to do a clean finish in Drew's favor. And Drew's already taken so many pinfall losses to Roman.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why it's hard to be for both belts. Cause like, if you could do a thing where like, maybe even that, like I was going to say Theory cashes in for one of the belts and like,
this is all about Drew. They can't do that. They
exactly.
One on one, maybe involve the Usos. That's fine. But they need to just be one on one and decide whether you want to do this switch or not.
Yeah.
But it feels like to me, even though obviously Drew is not from Cardiff, Wales, he's from Irish Scotland, that it feels like he's going to have a ton of support. I go back and forth on this also, because if he doesn't drop it here, then he's probably dropping it to Cody.
Yeah.
I mean, or whatever they decide to do if they get Rock.
But
at the same time, it's like, okay, as good as Roman is, you are asking people to be hooked on this for another 6+ months of him being champ.
Oh, yeah, and here's
just going through everybody else. So it's like, I trust them to build intrigue because anything Roman does is obviously much more interesting than pretty much anything else on the show.
Yeah.
But it's just a really tough ask. Although if they're going to do it, the fall is the best time to do it just because it's Rock's.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, if you're gonna do it, that's kind of a moment to do it. And you know, Drew didn't get his moment against Brock.
Correct.
So you do it here, and then that's kind of how you can split the titles back up too. You know, he's like, I'm gonna be a fighting champion, I'm gonna be on both shows, and then you know, he faces Cross or whoever for the SmackDown one, and then eventually within a month or so, a couple months, drops the Raw one to, you know, Seth or Kevin Owens. You get it to Cody. You get it probably to Seth by Mania, and then Cody wins the Rumble and faces Seth for the title. And then the SmackDown one, you know, you do maybe Roman Rock that doesn't need a title. But
here's the thing with Cross and having the title. If he can't go to Canada, which he can't...
Well, he's not going to win the title. He's just going to be in the first defense.
This is my thing for people who might be worried that he's going to win the title. They have a Saudi show in November. They're not balking at a championship match of that caliber for that show or whatever with Cross as the champ.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
So
if he wins the title, it would be short-term. Anyway.
Do I think Drew is going to win? I mean, the cards are all there, I think. I mean, this is the most intriguing Roman Reigns title defense has been, I think, since fans came back, honestly. Maybe since the Kevin Owens stuff, which was a year and a half ago. I think I'm going to go with Drew. Roman goes away for a little bit, and they split the titles back up, and then, he comes back Survivor Series and kind of runs from there to Mania. And then, I don't know what he's going to do after Mania. He might be wrapping it up a little bit, whatever. I think I'm going to go with Drew. Just feels like you can kind of do a moment and make a guy, and they should probably go for it.
This is going to be on Roman. And I love Drew. I absolutely think Drew should win, but I don't think there's been a point in the last 2 years that's pointing towards Roman losing. You know, and even like each road within this feud, I don't sense it. I don't sense it happening. I still see a lot more for Roman to do with that belt. So I'm going to stay with the Tribal Chief here. And hey, getting the UK fans to buy in and Drew winning at the crib, hook, line, and sinker, and then just ripping apart from them. That's the WWE way. Trips learned from the elder. Very, very well. We got a quick moment to talk about anything else. Are you surprised by the uncertainty that's going on in AEW heading into All Out weekend?
I guess a little bit. It kind of seems evident they're just going to run Mox and Punk back, which, like, as someone who hasn't ordered the pay-per-view yet and just watched that match, you know, 3 days ago, I'm probably not going to go out of my way to watch it. I'll probably just watch FSU and LSU instead and just watch All Out later. You know, I was really hyped up for it, but, you know, FTR's in, like, a throwaway match, and it's not where it should be, I think, from, like, a year-over-year perspective. You know, we talked about they brought in Danielson and Cole last year, and everyone had all these high hopes where they'd be in a year, and they're kind of in the same place, if not worse. So it's just – it's frustrating, but – you know, hopefully they put on a good show. I think there's a lot of matches on there that could be good. But yeah, just the main event not being really announced or determined yet is not ideal. That doesn't even get into all the backstage stuff, which some of it might be true, some of it might be not. But they clearly have some issues going on over there, and it's not ideal for them.
I guess we should just go back to 2006. I don't find anything else really as important to talk about. I mean, unless we're all in agreement that the NXT star is going to come out of Sunday, we're holding the belts, correct?
Yeah, I think it makes the most sense just because, you know, NXT Europe is
I mean, I personally hope that Mako just kicks the shit out of both Blair and Mandy and then wins both titles.
Yeah, I think Mandy's.
Goes away or whatever.
I think Mandy's pinning Blair.
That's unfair.
That's why Blair is in the match.
I mean, Blair is in the match to take the pin, yes, but I hope it's Mako and Mandy because I'm tired of Mandy's title reign.
Yeah, it hasn't been great, but
I couldn't tell you one thing about it other than that she probably beat people who were immensely more talented than her that had no reason to be down there in the first place.
Yeah.
So anytime I think about it, I just get mad.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, hopefully that's true.
But, like, it's obviously just the developmental, but I don't think they're going to do 300-day title reigns for the day.
No, probably not. Like, hopefully that show's good. I don't know how much of it I'm going to watch, but
Ron Bate will probably be the best match.
Yeah, so maybe I'll go back and watch that. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, NXT is somehow like not as bad as people say, but also not as good as people say. That's where I'm at with it right now. So,
all right, we go back to the year 2006. It's been a minute since we chatted about one of
it. Has been. We got some stuff going on here. We're on the road to SummerSlam, which we will cover next week. We got the lead up to it this week, though. Starting it off, we got your top five songs. It's Going Down stays number five. Buttons by the Pussycat Dolls is in at number four. And Me and You, Crazy and Promiscuous stay at the top three spots. For movies, debuting at number five is The Ant Bully. Number four is Monster House. Debuting at number three is John Tucker Must Die. Pirates of the Caribbean.
By the way.
Absolutely. Pirates of the Caribbean is down to number two, and debuting at number one is Miami Vice.
I don't think I ever watched that Miami Vice.
It's was it Colin Farrell and
Jamie Foxx?
Yes. Yeah, it's not very good.
No.
Okay. Yeah, we get into Raw from East Rutherford, New Jersey.
I had the unfortunate honor of attending this Super Show taping, and yes, it did offend me at multiple times. And it's very obvious when most of those times were.
That makes sense. Shane and Vince are here to open the show. Stephanie gave birth to a baby girl last week, and the child's far more wealthy and intelligent than anyone in the arena. Celebration will continue all the way through SummerSlam, and Vince and Shane are going to dedicate their match at SummerSlam to Vince's granddaughter. They're facing DX, and DX's music hits, but they don't come out right away, and eventually they do come out. And Sean says it'll be DX celebrating when SummerSlam's all over. Triple H is actually in the delivery room, and he has exclusive photos. He shows a bunch of Photoshop pictures of Vince and Shane as babies and such. Shane says DX is babies, and at SummerSlam, Vince and Shane are going to change their diapers. It's not a good line. We get Johnny Nitro against Shelton Benjamin against Carlito for the Intercontinental Championship. We get the news that Raw's moving from TSN to The Score in Canada, which was on TSN for its entire run so far, so it's big news. Shelton had Carlito pinned while Nitro was kind of out of the ring, but Melina put Carlito's foot on the rope. Good move. Shelton's yelling at Melina, and then Carlito throws him out of the ring, and Nitro rolls up Carlito to retain the title. Randy Orton's out here for Orton Knows Best. At SummerSlam, he's going to take the legend of Hulk Hogan and kill it, and Randy's going to be set for life. Brings out some actors portraying the Hogan family and RKOs them all. Yeah, not very good. Would have been a good pre-tape, I think, but doing it live is not great.
Yeah, that was a decision that was definitely made.
And then Randy slaps Jerry Lawler. So it was good.
Yes, and then Lawler challenged Orton to a match next week in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Trish and Candice defeated Mickie James and Victoria. Mick Foley's here. He liked Melina and Nitro to introduce him for this upcoming segment, and they agree. Foley came out. He and Ric Flair are not as different as Rick thinks. They have differences, but they also have similarities. As a member of Evolution, Rick took Randy Orton Batista under his wing. Mick took Melina under his wing. This is still really cool.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Mick made national news with his books. Rick made it for his road rage incident, which brought Rick out, said that maybe he overstayed his welcome, but at least he knows that unlike Mick, it ends with him challenging Mick to a hardcore match at SummerSlam. Coach came out and said that will be taking place. Mick said that his contract says he wrestles who he wants, when he wants, and he won't be wrestling with him.
Damn.
And then with Edge on commentary, John Cena defeated Matt Stryker. Rory McAllister defeated Johnny of the Spirit Squad, I presume.
Mm-hmm.
So those were two matches that definitely happened. The police were searching DX's bags, and they have Cuban cigars, which are contraband. Armando Alejandro Estrada obviously planted them there, so Triple H will not be around for Sean's match with Mbak. Early in that match, Vince and Shane came out. Umaga obviously picked up the victory. And then Vince hit Sean with a chair and said that next week it will be Triple H versus Umaga.
No, there we go. We moved to ECW, which was not part of this taping.
Nope.
It was at the Hammerstein Ballroom. And you would think they're going to really load up the show, kind of pander to their hardcore audience. So we start with Sandman and Tommy Dreamer against Test and Mike Knox, an Extreme Rules match. It's fine. You know, Dreamer gets very bloody and gets put through the barbed wire board thing. The crowd wanted a table, which I get it. Tested the TKO for the win. Sabu saw Paul Heyman in the back and wants to face the Big Show. Paul says that still not going to happen. Then it's time for the debut of CM Punk. He's in action against Justin Credible. Crowd's really happy to see him. And then he just goes 50-50 with Justin Credible for 6 minutes for some reason and wins with the Anaconda Vice. Probably could have had him win a little sooner. Shannon Moore is coming soon.
He is. Big Paul Heyman favorite right there.
Yes.
Why is Shannon Moore coming again?
I guess because Paul likes him.
Yeah, because Heyman likes him and he's not doing anything else.
Why does Paul Heyman like him?
I don't know. He was sort of featured in that role back a couple years ago.
2002, 2003. Yeah. I know. I'm being as a little shit. As
Matt Hardy's MF-er.
Right, I'm being a little shit because I believe Shannon Moore was, you know, one of them when the pandemic started.
Yeah. Brooklyn Brawler's in the ring. It's too extreme for Raw or SmackDown, so he's in the perfect place.
Brawler here. you're not even in Brooklyn.
True. Kurt Angle comes out and makes him tap to the ankle lock after about a minute. So Kurt Angle back. The vampire has a name now. His name is Kevin Thorne. He's going to take someone's blood next week. It's time for our main event. Batista against Big Show for the ECW Championship. And, you know, the crowd rejected it. And they were probably right to. I mean, you know, you buy a ticket for ECW. And I know it's obviously not going to be the same. But you buy a ticket for ECW in the Hammerstein Ballroom based on what they put out the past 2 years. And then you get this as your main event. It's just... I mean, Batista and Big Show did what they could, but they really had no chance here. Big Show got on the mic and kind of messed with the crowd a little bit. That was good. But yeah, it was bad. And Joey Styles and Taz intentionally didn't talk and just kind of let the chance bleed through. And Big Show just gets the title and hits Batista with it for the DQ. And then Sabu does the Arabian face buster. So the crowd liked that at least. But yeah, just a real disaster for the main event. What?
This to me is when that incarnation of ECW died. Not 2010, not the pay-per-view December to Dismember. This right here, because it was the greatest sign that this had nothing to do with ECW and the letters ECW and what they stood for. I don't know who in the blue hell thought that they could put Big Show and Batista in a main event match for the ECW championship in an ECW ring in the goddamn Hammerstein Ballroom, and it wasn't going to get the reaction that it got. Who short-sighted that?
Yeah, and it's interesting. Like, what's the original plan? Like, RVD against Big Show? RVD against Batista? Yeah, I mean, neither of those are, like, they're a little better, but...
Even still, or RVD Kurt on, or RVD Kurt Angle?
Yeah.
Either way,
it's ridiculous.
Thought you knew they were screwed.
Yeah, exactly.
So moved to SmackDown, August 4th, 2006. Also from East Rutherford. We get Finlay against Regal for the U.S. title. It's kind of getting right to it here.
Yep.
And Lashley comes out, takes them both out, stands tall. It's no contest, and he's medically cleared now. So yes. Lashley's back. Elijah Burke is in action against Scott Wright. It was supposed to be Sylvester Turquay, but... he asks Burke to fill in for him, and Burke gets the win, and then Sylvester Turquay comes back in and puts some submission holds on. So, sure. Crystal beat Ashley. Ashley broke her hand in this match. Tatanka beat Sylvain.
Absolutely insane that this show had 8 matches on it, by the way.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. This is like a 2000-era show with like none of the hot angles.
Mm-hmm. Let me get another Kennedy against Batista match because Batista is going to be the world champion soon and he has to kind of tie this up. So,
yep.
Get about 10 minutes and Batista finally beats Kennedy. Batista bomb. Michael Cole interviews him and says that he'll save his congratulations till after SummerSlam when Batista gets the title back. Vito defeats the Brooklyn Brawler.
Two Brooklyn Brawler appearances in 1 week.
Yeah. Teddy Long's in his office and Montel Vontavious Porter comes in. He wants Teddy to call him up to the main roster and then hands Teddy the phone to talk to his agent. So MVP's coming. So that's good.
Yes.
He's very good.
He is.
Still. The Teacher's Pets defeat Funaki and Scotty Tuati. A lot of these matches feel like they should be on Velocity.
Yes, they should.
I was about to ask who the hell are the Teacher's Pets and then it jogged in my memory.
So yeah, Sandow and
someone else.
Yeah.
Aaron Idol and Aaron Steve. I don't know.
Yeah. Casey Idol and
there it goes. Aaron Stevens is Damian Sandow.
Yes.
I know that. And then Michelle McCool, who is the star of the show. Mm-hmm. And last.
Chavo Guerrero's here. Said that Ray was trying to make a living off Eddie's name and legacy, and Ray's not a Guerrero. So when Eddie died, you know, Chavo was so devastated that he had to retire from wrestling. Ray couldn't keep the title on his own after he won it, so Chavo had to keep helping him, like against JBL and Mark Henry, but Ray took all the credit. Then Ray comes out and they brawl, and Vicky shows up and begs them to stop and gets in between them. It's actually pretty good. You know, it's a good story.
It is, yeah, it is.
Then we move on to Booker T against The Undertaker, which is fine, but if you've seen either of them in a TV main event, you kind of know how it goes.
This was the first time I ever saw Undertaker.
Yeah, there you go. So
for me, this was fun.
Yeah.
I didn't really care about the result.
Obviously, they don't do a finish because Kali comes out and chops Undertaker for the DQ. They're going to have a last man standing match at SummerSlam, which will most likely be bad. That was the end of the first week.
Mercilessly. All right. Are we doing sports here?
Well, on that Friday, Chase Utley's hitting streak ended at 35 games. He went over five. However, the Phillies did win their game. So Utley had...
I remember that being like a lot of talk, right? Wasn't like Utley's hit streak, and like didn't Jimmy Rollins have a hit streak that went into the next year and a lot of folks talked about?
Yes,
he did. Because Rollins' hit streak, I believe, extended through the end of one season into the other.
It did.
Yeah, and then, okay, on that Saturday, Reggie White, Troy Aikman, Warren Moon, John Madden, Rayfield Wright, and Harry Carson were all inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That is a great class.
Yeah, it's very good.
Let's see. Also, Floyd Landis' B-sample returned a positive test for excessive testosterone, and his contract with his racing team was immediately terminated. So he will probably be stripped of the Tour de France.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the guy after Lance Armstrong.
He was, and then that happened. In the Hall of Fame game, the Raiders beat the Eagles 16-10. Let's see. Art Shell was successful. Oh, yeah, that's right. This was a year where Art Shell came back to be the coach of the Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot all about that. The Tiger Woods won the Buick Open by 3 strokes for his 50th career victory. And that's really about it for that week or so. Nothing really happened earlier in the week.
Yeah.
So we can move forward.
Okay. So on to the next week here. Top 5 songs. London Bridge is in the top 5 at number 5. Deja Vu is at 4. And then Me and You, Crazy and Promiscuous stay in the top 3. Got a real stronghold on the top 3.
Yes.
Top 5 movies. The Descent debuted at number 5. Miami Vice is down to 4. Pirates of the Caribbean is down to 3. Debuting at number 2 is Barnyard. And debuting at number 1 is Talladega Nights. It's a great film. Move on to Raw from Memphis. We're getting right to it. We got Mickey against Trish for the Women's Championship. And the bell rings and Edge and Lita come out. And they're stopping the match, stopping the show. Edge has to take a back seat. Even though he's the WWE champion, he gets no respect. He's got to face Cena in Boston. Edge gets disqualified, he loses the title. It's not fair. You know, Edge isn't on the SummerSlam poster or the WWE magazine cover, but Trish is. So he corners Trish, and then Carlito comes out and makes the save. So they will have a match later between those four.
Yes.
Shelton is in action, another number one contender's Intercontinental title match, and this time it's against Kane. Kane gets the win, so... That sucks. Bummer. Yeah.
John Cena's here. Cena said that Edge isn't on the cover of the magazine or on the SummerSlam poster, but Edge can be on the cover of Crying Bitch Illustrated. He challenged Edge to a fight. Coach said that Edge can't do that because he and Lita are facing Carlito and Trish tonight, but if Cena wants to wrestle so bad, then he can wrestle Viscera. And he won because he got an F1 Viscera, which is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Vince has police protecting him tonight. Fortunately, we can probably only hope for that now.
Yeah.
Trish complained about the match to Carlito and then kissed him. Shawn Michaels was being taken to jail for apparently inadvertently hitting one of the police officers, so Triple H is on his own.
Yeah. Edge and Lita are in action against Carlito and Trish. Edge accidentally spears Trish, and then Lita covers her for the victory. So, yeah. Todd Grisham tells Randy Orton that his match with Hogan might be off because Hogan got hurt getting off the couch. Randy tells Hogan to get well and heal up because at SummerSlam, his legend will be killed. And Ric Flair is here. He's born in Memphis. He's been thinking all week about how to get Foley to accept his challenge. So he decided to read Foley's book. There's a page where he said that Ric Flair against Terry Funk in an I Quit match is his favorite match of all time. And Foley comes out and says that Ric used to be his favorite wrestler and the best wrestler he's ever seen. But now that he's met Ric, he hates him more than he hates anyone in the history of this business. But if they wrestled, it would be the main event of SummerSlam. They bring out the best in each other. And eventually Mick caves and says they're going to have an I Quit match at SummerSlam. So it'll be fun.
Randy Orton hit a low blow and beat Lawler with an RKO.
Yeah.
Pretty academic there, obviously. And then Umaga wrestled Triple H. Triple H was about to win, but then Vince pulled the ref out. Shane and Umaga beat up Triple H. The ref went back in to count the finish, and then Vince pedigree Triple H. So, yeah, things are happening. One piece of news, one consequential piece of sports news the rest of the week, and nothing really major happens. On that Tuesday, Roger Goodell was elected to succeed Paul Tagliabue as the NFL's fifth commissioner.
Cannot believe it's been that long.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, seriously.
Overall, he's probably done a fairly good. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, what's your scale?
Yeah.
For Roger Goodell as the NFL commissioner, if we're just talking about, like, between the lines of the game, Roger Goodell probably is the best commissioner we've had since then of the four major sports. Because in between the lines of the game, I think he's made the game. He's helped make the game safer. It's a lot more easily accessible from a media standpoint, from a television standpoint, from a fan standpoint. I definitely feel that the NFL has truly reached a mega peak under Goodell. But if we're talking off the field, how do you handle situations of sexual assault or domestic battery or situations like that? He's been awful. You can't necessarily grade him against everybody else in that regard, because everybody's been awful. But if we're just sticking it between in the lines of in between those lines, Goodell's been awesome. Goodell has been great, and like, we shit on Goodell a lot, but like, compared to Adam Silver, who I think is kind of going the wrong way on certain things, this Commissioner's Cup crap being one of them. Rob Manfred, enough said. Gary Bettman, enough said. If you want to talk about Kathy Engelberg and the WNBA, I got something for you. So, yeah, you know, it's a low bar, but he cleared it.
Okay, so we go to ECW now from Nashville. We open the show with Mike Knox beating Tommy Dreamer when Paul Heyman's security guards get involved. You know, Heyman knows Sandman's upset about what happened to Dreamer. Heyman's upset too. He's going to book a rematch from last week, but now he can't. So Sandman's going to face Test and Mike Knox on his own. So they start, then Sandman just kind of hits them both with the cane, gets disqualification, whatever. Kevin Thorne is here. He's in action against Al Snow. He wins pretty convincingly with a razor's edge. Kurt Angle's facing Sabu in a number one contender match in the main event tonight. Kurt says Sabu will learn the only thing truly suicidal is stepping in the ring with Kurt Angle. Rene Dupree's coming to ECW.
Don't know why.
Big Show's here in a suit. Doesn't care who wins between Sabu and Angle. He'll demolish either one. They're in his path because no one can beat him. CM Punk thanks everyone for his big debut last week, and he will be back in action next week. We go to Kurt against Sabu. Pretty good match, all things considered. Kurt did a good job not letting Sabu drift too much. Kurt gets Sabu in the ankle lock, and then RVD comes out, hits the Van Daminator on Kurt. It becomes a no contest, and RVD's back now. So
he is.
How is he going to factor into everything? We'll have to see.
It's a great question.
Yes.
So, on to SmackDown. To start things off, Daivari was in the ring. Said the Great Khali would not accept the Undertaker's challenge for a last man standing match at SummerSlam. The Undertaker came out and attacked Daivari and gave Great Khali a chokeslam. Afterwards, they went backstage where Chavo Guerrero claimed that he did not start any of this and that Rey Mysterio started by stealing the Guerrero family name. Vicky said that they are familia and Chavo is tearing the family apart by having this war with Mysterio. And Chavo said Mysterio was not a member of the Guerrero family anymore and walked off in a huff.
Yeah, again, it's pretty good. Like, you know, they're telling a good story here.
They are.
Gregory Helms in action, getting a win over Tatanka, who's a non-title match because Tatanka weighs over 205 pounds or whatever. So, you know, it's fine. We go backstage and Luke Perry is there. Ashley and Christo are arguing about who should talk to him. He's going to be judging whatever Diva search thing they're doing tonight that we don't really include in these, but they had a talent show, and yeah, Luke Perry was there, so that was fun.
It was, yeah.
Obviously, his family is really into wrestling, so that was cool. We go backstage again, and Vicky is kind of begging Ray to forgive Chavo. They could be friends again. Ray says, you know, he'll do his best. He's not going to fight Chavo. He's not going to, you know, He understands where Chavo's coming from, and he's going to do the best he can to not get mad at Chavo. Exactly. So Ray's in action against Mr. Kennedy. Chavo comes to ringside and starts fighting him, and Vicky gets knocked out while Ray's checking on her. Chavo pushes him away so he can check on Vicky, and then Vicky screams at Bolson again, and Ray loses by countout.
Yes.
So things aren't going great.
They are not.
Big Vito defeated Savan. You know.
What can you say?
Sylvester Turquay picks up a win.
It's Dustin Starr.
Yeah. They're trying with them.
They're trying.
Forgot kind of everything involving him, but they're trying.
They're trying.
Teddy Long trying to talk to MVP again, but MVP says that all business discussion has to go through his agent. It's good. I like that. William Regal and Finley are arguing because, you know, they're upset about what happened last week with Lashley. Boogeyman's coming back.
He is.
That'll be fun. In the main event, we get Lashley and Batista against Regal and Finlay. And, you know, Batista and Lashley pick up the win, kind of like you'd expect. And then Booker was on commentary, and Batista thanks him for holding on to his title, but Batista wants it back at SummerSlam. So we'll see if Booker accepts Batista's challenge or not.
Yes.
That was SmackDown.
That was.
It's barreling on to SummerSlam. Obviously on Raw, we got Raw. We got Edge and John Cena to build with. SmackDown, Batista and Booker T or Booker, which has some actual real life beef there. Who's King of the Ring for these 2 weeks?
Probably CM Punk, I guess.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, he debuted and won. Yeah.
Yeah. And CM Punk went on to have a long and controversy free WWE career. Future Hall of Famer. Quick note, we are going back to weekly joints. Why? Because wrestling's good again. We can talk about weekly wrestling without feeling like, oh god, this is just getting really long. So we'll begin that. The next time you hear us will be this upcoming Monday. So be on the lookout for brand new episodes coming every Monday. New 2 minute drill also out same time. We preview the AFC and NFC Souths. We will do, we'll do the North coming up next week, and very excited now to talk about my, god damn it, they pull me back in. This is what this is what happens every fucking August. They pull me back. I'm at Cameron Santo, Rob's at Robert O'Neill 31, Chris is at Chris O. Novak. At Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/barberschairdigital, www.thebcnet.com, and patreon.com/barberschairnetwork. I think that's all the links I got to give to you. We'll see you next week on Discretion.